You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic. You know what it's like when folks get real loud over a horse in the heat of competition, cheering like it's overtime, because it's not just a horse, it's your obsession. And when your horse is your teammate, you'll do anything you can to make sure you both perform at your best. Purina. We've spent decades meticulously designing nutrition to help make sure your horse is at its best. Get the performance-proven, research-backed supplements your winner needs at purinamills.com/horseperformance. I'm your host, Haley Kerstetter, and my guest today is Dr. Rachel Mote of Legacy Equine Nutrition in Ocala, Florida. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited about our topic today, and I know it's something that our readers are interested in, and that's the equine microbiome. So can you start off by telling us exactly what is the equine microbiome, and why should owners and barn managers monitor their horse's gut health?
Great question. So the equine microbiome is a community of microbes that includes bacteria, fungi, protozoa, and some viruses, and it's located all throughout the equine digestive tract. And each area of the GI tract has a unique microbial composition specific to that area, but we see the most activity and highest density of these microbes in the cecum and large colon, so the hindgut. And the microbes that reside in the hindgut, these are the big players that are predominantly responsible for fiber fermentation. And this fermentation actually allows horses to turn fiber into what are called short-chain fatty acids, and these are what yield utilizable energy for the horse. And the microbiome topic is so interesting because it's related to so many aspects of equine health. Yet the difficult thing is we can't see or measure these microbes that reside in the hindgut. So what becomes important when we think about monitoring our horse's microbiome health is for owners and barn managers to establish a baseline for their horse. And this baseline should include their horse's normal body condition, energy, manure consistency, among other factors, but these are all affected by the equine microbiome. And also, when these things change, they affect the microbiome themselves. So it's a big player, and it's definitely affected when horses have health issues come up, and further disruption of the microbiome can trigger health consequences like colic, metabolic disease, laminitis. So again, it becomes really important for one to monitor and develop a baseline of good health for their horse that they can identify.
So speaking of those disruptions, can you explain a little bit how disruptions in the microbiome could show up in horses' behavior, performance, or physical condition? I know behavior is one that people are specifically interested in.
Yeah, so, and that's interesting because I did find some recent studies that actually have shown adverse behaviors like biting, kicking, and certain stereotypies are associated with certain microbiome in the or microbiota in the equine gut. So we know that disruption in the microbiome or having some of these populations be dominant can definitely impact performance, behavior, physical condition, even the immune system. So it's really involved in the whole body. Disruptions can also influence gut permeability, which can allow absorption of non-beneficial compounds or even toxins into the body, of course, adversely affecting horse health. When we have what's called a dysbiosis, and in very simple terms, that means a healthy microbiome kind of gets out of whack and we see dominance of bad bacteria. When that happens, we can see horses have a failure to thrive from a physical condition standpoint, performance standpoint, even simple things like lacking shine, bloom, and energy. So because of this, one should really consider supporting the microbiome if their horse isn't thriving. And of course, one should connect with their veterinarian to find out if there's any underlying health issues that are causing these failures to thrive. Yet because the microbiome is so heavily involved and an immune response in equine health, keep it on the list of things that you target when things are off with your horse. Because again, those disruptions can influence behavior, performance, and physical condition. So when you're targeting those, think about products that are targeted towards the hindgut that can help those beneficial bacteria thrive.
So what are some of the biggest mistakes that barns might make that could harm the equine gut microbiome, even if they're unintentional?
This question was my favorite question to read because as a nutritionist, a lot of times these kind of cases come to me. And the biggest thing that people do that harms the equine microbiome is make rapid feed and hay changes, and then also overfeeding. So these are usually what I see show up. When the feed or hay rapidly changes, the microflora that are used to seeing a certain composition of feed and hay in the gut can be adversely affected in a sense that you can get rapid population shifts. So you can get die-off of good bacteria, increased proliferation of bad bacteria, depending on the situation. But you can really wreak havoc by making rapid feed and hay changes. So in the case of the horse, slow and steady is always the right path. And I'm always trying to help owners stabilize the microbiome. And stabilization would be consistency and also slow and steady. So what do I mean by slow and steady? For instance, if I'm talking about feed, my suggestion is do not increase a new feed by more than 1 pound of new product per day. A transitional period for forage is ideal. And in a perfect world, this would happen over the course of multiple weeks. However, I am also practically aware that this commonly does not happen in a large farm situation, even in small farms. But what we do know is that the microbiota does take multiple weeks to fully adjust to a new forage. Yet most horses seem to be pretty stoic in terms of signs of GI upset through this transition. Yet we know that this does cause microbial population shifts. So the slower we can transition hay and feed, the better. And meal size also makes a difference. There's an old rule of thumb, do not feed more than 0.5% of your horse's body weight and feed per meal. Well, there is some nuance to this. This is a good starting point to remember to keep meal sizes small. So typically, you know, less than 5 pounds. If you can do, you know, up to a 3-4 pound meal, if you're feeding grain, that's most ideal. Smaller frequent meals, the better. Because what can happen, you can end up with what's called a starch overload into the hindgut, which can cause hindgut acidosis and upset the microflora, even resulting in laminitis in severe cases. So the smaller the meal size, the lower the likelihood of some of this havoc happening where you have that starch overflow and the microflora that is supposed to ferment starch is not supposed to be doing that in the hindgut. So that's problematic, and we try to keep things as consistent as possible and slow and steady transitions when it comes to nutrition.
I think the forage is something that a lot of people maybe forget or just don't think about transitioning that slowly, especially, you know, say you buy the same type of hay from load to load, but it still could be from a different cutting or from a different farm altogether. And people don't really think that that makes a difference. It's something I personally just learned within the last year or two and started implementing with my own horses.
Yeah. It's the hay thing becomes more difficult, and I totally get that. You know, the hardest transition I see when it comes to the microflora is going from a forage that's maybe average quality or maybe it's a bit over mature and then going to something really lush, like a really highly digestible alfalfa. That can really wreak havoc on the gut microflora. I would say oftentimes when we think about clinical signs associated with GI discomfort, going from one grass and one cutting to another typically doesn't cause many problems. But also, this is outwardly, we don't see those shifts happening within the gut, yet we know they are. So if you have a horse that's sensitive to that, and some horses in the barn will be, you know, for instance, I've owned a horse in the past that had a very sensitive gut. And when the barn would change out the hay source or get new round bales in the pasture, my horse would colic. None of the other horses had an issue, but I had an extremely sensitive horse. So I think beyond thinking about that slow and steady transition to support the gut, also be mindful if you have a horse that is sensitive to that, kind of like the one I had. If you can go slow in that transition, that's best for them just to keep the gut happy, keep from those big population shifts from causing colic or other health issues.
Definitely. So when it comes to changes that might, it's really just something that you can't make so subtle, such as travel or competition, or even changes to their routine, like maybe a new pasture mate. Do those things affect the microbiome? And if so, what could we do to protect them?
Yeah, so those things definitely affect the microbiome when we think about travel, changing pasture mates, competition, changes in routine. They definitely impact the microbiome. And there are some ways that we can provide nourishment for the beneficial bacteria to try and reduce the risk of negative consequences to stress. Unfortunately, many things that we do with the domesticated horse are stressful for them, whether we see it or not. And this can definitely cause microbial shifts. It can cause changes in gut permeability. So there's a lot of things we do with horses that do upset the apple cart. We can't always see clinical signs. But my number one suggestion in any of these situations, especially thinking about travel and competition, bring hay and feed from home. Bring the hay your horse is used to eating and have enough for the whole show. So often I see people go to the show, they'll buy the hay at the show, or I've even seen barns that have hay that's different from the normal everyday hay that they take to the show. The best thing you can try and do, nutrition is something that we can provide some stability to the gut with. So when I think about stressors, I'm like, let's keep something as consistent as possible, and let's approach that through nutrition. And I even advise that when people move to a new barn, see if you can get several bales of hay from the old barn. Take the feed from the old barn, or get a week's worth at least, so we can keep that consistent. Another thing people can consider doing is feeding a daily pre, pro, and postbiotic to provide nourishment for the good bacteria in the gut. There's many supplements on the market, and that's kind of a whole different conversation in itself. But what I would suggest is looking for a researched gut supplement that has proven strains of like Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is yeast, and some good prebiotics, fructooligosaccharides, mannanooligosaccharides, and potentially some probiotics, postbiotics. Things that are going to target beneficial bacteria and actually provide food for them. So that's something people can also do on top of consistency of what they're doing at home. Don't change the feed program when you're at the show, if you can avoid that.
You know what it's like when folks get real loud over a horse in the heat of competition, cheering like it's overtime, because it's not just a horse, it's your obsession. And when your horse is your teammate, you'll do anything you can to make sure you both perform at your best. Purina. We've spent decades meticulously designing nutrition to help make sure your horse is at its best. Get the performance-proven, research-backed supplements your winner needs at purinamills.com/horseperformance. Yeah, I see a lot of people who go to shows for weeks at a time and order feed there, order hay there. And I always wondered what that does to the horse's gut.
Yeah, it definitely increases your risk of gut upset. And like we've kind of talked about, some horses are so stoic and you just, that change, they seem to do just fine. But what's happening under the surface, we are definitely increasing the risk of some type of gut upset or episode. So if we're trying to reduce that risk, stability is the best, but I do get it. I ride performance horses as well. I know it can be difficult to take hay for weeks for, 10 horses that are on the trailer. I get it, but if it's possible, please try.
Definitely. Do you ever recommend that people, when they're showing maybe for weeks at a time, if they can't bring enough hay for the entire time, that they bring enough for a week or so they can at least slowly transition to what the show might be selling?
Definitely. If that's an option, yes, I would say doing that and mixing it in with the new hay.
Okay. That might be more accessible for some people, so that's definitely good to know.
Yeah.
So speaking of the forage, what role does forage quality specifically and availability play in maintaining microbial balance?
The microbiome depends greatly on quality forage, and that's going to provide or promote microflora diversity, optimal fermentation, and pH stability. So high quality forage will also be a better source for creating energy through fermentation, whereas overly mature forage has a higher indigestible fraction, and this can ultimately slow or kind of stagnate fermentation. It can also impair vitamin B synthesis, which is something the microbes do in the gut, and potentially negatively influence gut motility. So quality is quite important, and it can be difficult when you're trying to assess by the eye or visual assessment what hay is, you know, better quality or lower quality. The thing I would tell owners to look at or think about, the more stalky and stemmy or rigid that particle is in the forage, the less digestible it is. So a forage analysis is what will paint the most accurate picture here. But I would say for optimal microbial diversity and the things I just mentioned, optimal fermentation, going with something that's a little softer, more optimally cut, is going to promote microbial health. I realize, however, there are some horses that don't need that lush, really rich, highly digestible forage, and they can go with a more average quality and be just fine. But what I would steer people away from is going for that really stocky, overly mature forage that's not going to be as digestible and is higher in something called lignin, which is your indigestible fraction or fiber in that forage. But it's very, very important when it comes to the microbiome, because that forage is what feeds the beneficial bacteria. So that's always going to be the pillar in equine nutrition, is good quality forage.
When a horse receives medication, such as maybe antibiotics or NSAIDs, what could owners do to protect the microbiome? Because I know in humans, you know, if you're taking a medication, for example, an antibiotic, you might feel sick to your stomach. So do horses kind of have the same thing?
Well, it's hard to know if it really makes them feel sick to their stomach. That's an interesting part of the question. And, you know, in terms of medications and antibiotics, they can result in non-selective killing of bacteria that can include beneficial bacteria. So this can result in overgrowth of bacteria that would otherwise not thrive when beneficial bacteria is dominant. And so we think about dysbiosis being a normal consequence of medication, antibiotic, NSAID use, whether we directly observe this or not. So I think it's hard to know if it makes the horse feel crummy, but what we can do to protect the microbiome, providing high quality hay, looking for a supplement that's got some good pre and probiotics in it, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, different strains that you can identify in different supplements. Sometimes you'll see strains with some research behind them have a number after them, or there are some of those out there that I would recommend. So doing some type of gut supplement during that treatment and after, even as an everyday type of thing, might help. The challenge is we don't know how much these do help. A lot of times probiotics are kind of a shot in the dark because we don't know the composition of the full microbiome for every horse. And we do know that composition changes or is different on a horse-to-horse basis. So sometimes the best we can do is just try with a quality supplement to support the gut during those times. Because with use of medications like antibiotics, we do know that dysbiosis is a very normal consequence.
So how do you monitor gut health in the absence of obvious digestive issues? Are there tests, tools, or signs that people can watch for?
Great question. And it's difficult. And I mentioned before thinking about a baseline for your horse, but in terms of monitoring gut health without obvious signs of digestive issues, It's also difficult because the organ we'd be looking to evaluate would be what's going on within the cecum, and that's something we really couldn't get to without doing major surgery. Further, there are some different fecal tests out there that detect different things in the manure and come back and say, well, you need all these things, your horse has a dysbiosis, blah, blah, blah. We can't fully evaluate what's going on in the hindgut by looking at manure, unfortunately. It's something that I'd be cautious of if you have a company, telling you they measured things in your horse's manure and they've got hindgut ulcers and they've got all these things. Those companies sometimes do have good products that can support the gut, but I would say there aren't really any solid tools that can give us a good measurement of what's going on in the cecum and determining what the microbial activity is there. So in this case, I would suggest going with a good quality daily gut supplement if someone wants to have an attempt at supporting their horse's gut. The hard thing about that, as a nutritionist, I run into a lot of people who will feed gut supplements for years and their horses still will come up with issues with the gut, ulcers, GI upset. That doesn't mean that the product itself is bad necessarily, but horses do have unique microbiomes. And so you can have some really good supplements that don't do much for that particular horse, but might be super beneficial for another. And it's something that is so hard to measure, but what you can do is select a good, reputable product, feed it daily if you want to. If you continue to have different gut issues coming up, then it's time to maybe think about trying a different supplement. And again, it doesn't always mean the supplement's bad. It's just a reflection sometimes of our horses are all unique in their microflora. However, there are some poor quality pro and prebiotic supplements on the market. So go with a reputable company. Again, trying to steer away from naming individual companies just to try and be as unbiased as possible. But there are some very good products out there that target the gut that do have some research. So look for those and look for the research write-ups on them to help steer your decision.
Definitely. I think that's something that we've heard a couple of times from various people is just to make sure that you do your due diligence and look for research or speak to the company. It sounds like the companies who do have very high quality products are super happy to tell you about the research they've done, and they don't mind talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we are coming to the end of our time already today, and I just have one more question for you, and that is, what is one common misconception that you often hear about equine gut microbiome health?
It's such an interesting question. I don't know if I have heard tons of misconceptions, but I think the message I would want to share with people is that the equine microbiome influences health systemically all over your horse. It is so connected to the gut-brain axis. It is a key player in your horse's health. So what I would like is for more horse owners to think about the gut microbiome and think about stabilization, especially through nutrition, keeping things consistent, trying to, you know, as much as possible, keep the stress level low in our horse. That's kind of a funny thing to say, because again, what we do with domesticated horses in many senses stresses them out. But I want owners to think about the gut microbiome and make changes in their horse's program slowly and being mindful that there's a lot going on under the surface and things shifting with these microbes in response to everything. And our job is to try and to support that the best we can to keep our horses healthy. So that wasn't exactly a misconception, but I want more horse owners just to think about this topic.
Well, I love that advice. That's such good advice to leave everybody with today. So thank you so much for talking to me. It's been awesome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.